You've got to be fast on your feet to keep up with Nintendo Soccer. Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game played in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
I'm Sam.
I'm Joe.
Joe, welcome again from...
Tel Aviv!
That's where I am. Sean
nice.
Always knows.
How's the weather down there?
Oh, it's good. It's great. What do I usually say? It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Joe, have you ever ran into Carmen Sandiego?
That's who I'm looking for.
That makes a lot of sense. That would kill Sean for some reason.
That's good. As long as someone laughs at my bad jokes.
Yeah, I'll tell you, though, since you're traveling, it's appropriate that we only play Nintendo Soccer, otherwise just known as Soccer for the NES, because that has... countries from all over the world in it.
All over.
You know, it's places everywhere. Such as the United States.
where are you pointing that?
The Free Republic of Germany.
Yeah, it's got West Germany.
Germany is in this game. And this game was made by Intelligent Systems, which probably means nothing to most people. And to be honest, I'm a little worried if it actually is made by them. But I did a lot of research for this, and it's listed on their website, but they swear this game was made in 1986, which is impossible, because the copyright says 1985. But Intelligent Systems swears they made this game in 86. But the reason why I even bring them up is because they're a big deal for Nintendo. They're kind of like a second-party developer for Nintendo. They've made other games, too, but they're responsible for the Fire Emblem series, the Advanced Wars series, and the Paper Mario series. So that's like three really solid series, even though unfortunately we haven't really seen a great Paper Mario or a we haven't even seen an Advance Wars in a while. I'd just like to see that in general. But that's for a different kind of podcast.
It's a great pedigree.
Yep. Today we're talking about soccer, the game that people play in real life, and you can also play on your NES. So let's get some impressions.
So my first impression with soccer was Calm Down Soccer. The music and at this initial screen is like I'm at a carnival or something. And I think, Mike, I think it was you that said that you wanted some music during baseball or during 10-yard fight.
That was absolutely me.
You got your wish because there's definitely some loud, crazy music going on through this whole game. But also, the game played like soccer. I wasn't crazy about it, but I wasn't upset with it. That was my initial impression.
All right, Sean?
Okay, yeah. The ridiculous nonstop backing music of this game, notwithstanding, I kind of like soccer. And again, I'm the resident sports fan. Sports game fan. I had a lot of fun with soccer. I think it was the best representation of a physical sport. So far that we've played, maybe baseball's up there too, but you can't really feel. But like, I really liked all of the creative solutions to how to represent certain things in it between passing, shooting, aiming, and all that fun stuff, dribbling. I really liked it. I don't know if y'all agree.
Thank goodness you said physical sport, because I was like, how quickly we forgot golf. But not a physical sport, so I'll allow it. You know, you're talking about contact sports or whatever.
Yeah.
And my initial impression was I was happy with more options. I thought that was kind of cool that you could actually choose a skill level, something we couldn't do in baseball or something we couldn't really do in 10-yard fight because there was no difference between high school and Super Bowl, really. And I also liked the ability to choose time, too. That was kind of cool. So this way it was like, okay, I want to play a fast game or, you know, like this is going to be an epic duel between me and my friend. Once I actually started playing the game, my initial impression soured pretty fast. I don't know if soccer is just not for me. Full disclosure, I didn't grow up with any soccer. My dad was not a soccer guy. We never watched any. I never really played any. But I understand the rules, and I just felt like ball handling in this game in general, it's rough. And I get it. It's an NES launch game. It has some limitations. But this is a little rougher than I expected it to be compared to... you know, how fluid the passing was even in 10-yard fight. Granted, there was an easy chance for an interception because there was no Z axis, but the pass,
which thankfully
felt,
is in this game.
Yeah, yeah, the pass felt right too. Which I can't say so much here. So my initial impression, not that great. Sam?
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same page as Sean, I think. I've had a really nice little time with this one. I thought that it felt the most like my actions were controlling the game, you know, which in a lot of the other sports games, I feel it didn't. I think that they got down a lot of different things. You know, I feel like just the basic mechanics were pretty solid. And after that, it was pretty simple. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, I would say it might be. Well, I played on the easy level, so it might be too easy on the easy level, which makes sense.
I felt, but, just to chime in for a second, I did feel like easy was too easy. Yeah. I was up 4 goals before the second half.
Yeah, you can just kind of dribble at the goal and then shoot it at the goal and then you score. But right. I thought it felt really solid.
I think there's a difficulty progression between which setting you use,
which is nice to see.
And it actually, like, it's one that you feel, unlike like we said, 10-yard fight, you can't really tell the difference. And yeah, like I jumped up from 1 to 2. It was still a little easy. Got to 3. It felt pretty good. I tried 4 and they beat me. So I was really impressed with this game. I think that the rhythm of, like, just getting in the rhythm of running and dribbling and trying to, like, deke your opponent out. I know that Mike had a lot of problems, but you weren't a big fan of how the controls felt.
Felt a little clunky.
Yeah. I thought they felt pretty good, and just, because soccer is a very stop-and-go, at least in the video game representations, because you're, mm-hmm. you're always, like, trying to catch up to the ball you just kicked. So I appreciated it. I don't know if Sam or Joe feel that way at all.
Yeah.
I thought that it looked clunky. But once you realize why, you know, like when you turn and the ball turns with you.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the best way I think that they could illustrate what's happening. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, when a soccer player turns and they have the ball, like they don't have, you know what I mean? Like they can turn relatively easily. It's not what it's going to look like the way it looked like in this NES game. But once you kind of get past that, I think it felt good. It just looked clunky.
The one clunky thing, at least with the controls that I will cede, was the fact that, like, if you're controlling one of your defensemen and you're getting run up on, you got to be careful, because not only are you controlling, like, your last defenseman, you're also controlling your goalie.
Which screwed me up so much. So, like, you really, just the first time. Like, I was like, wow, I am not even near the net right now. Like, panic. Right.
There were a few times where I lost my goalie because I was looking at my defenseman. Where'd my goalie go?
Once they get inside the box, that's when it changes your controls over.
Right.
That's in
but
the manual.
Oh, is that what it is? You are controlling both at once.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's also sort of the way that when you're on the attack, you're not only are you moving more towards the goal or setting up your play, but every time you press up or down, you're also aiming your shot. And it's sort of it crosses over so that it's possible to go from one corner to the other immediately and kind of get the goalie, you know, in a weird position. Mm-hmm. I thought these are really interesting ways to solve these problems. They didn't always work the best, but I give them an A for effort.
Yeah, I think I wanted to add one of my favorite parts of the game was when you score. Your guys just go nuts.
They go nuts. And I love that. Yes. The celebration is so cool.
The animations were so funny. They're like little, they're flapping their arms and everything. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Is that? I don't even know what they're trying to simulate when they're flapping. It's like they're trying to look like birds or like.
Yeah, but the guy who scores does something a little bit different too. And it's just, I don't know. It was a joy.
I would love to see a real soccer game in which they do that whenever they score.
I just kind of felt like, you know, at any moment, the guy who scored was just going to, like, slide on his knees, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's just going to, like, take his shirt off and be like, oh my God. Like,
and there's a halftime show.
Yeah, can we get to the halftime show?
Yes, because I love that.
First of all, I'm not sure if that happens in soccer.
I don't know.
Watch a lot of soccer. I've watched some, but even if there is like a halftime show, is it really just cheerleaders that come out?
Right. I can't even think about it. What I think is funny
is that, I mean, the purpose of a halftime show is to like entertain you while the game's not happening. But this is a video game. The game could just start happening again. Immediately.
I don't even know if you can skip it. But if you did, you really miss a treat because like these sprites are so poorly rendered. I mean, like they look great. I mean, I don't think they look great. They look fine on the field as players, but like these cheerleaders look like the scene in E.T. where it puts the dress and wig on. Like, I didn't understand what they were going for with this. Like, just the shape of the head doesn't match the shape of the player's head.
The heads are very round on the cheerleaders. They're very, like, oval-shaped.
It was an odd decision. I mean, but, you know, character for the game.
Yeah, I thought it was, thought it was fun.
I actually kind of love the halftime show. It cracks me up.
But this is maximalist soccer, right?
And also, speaking of the sprites, I noticed that the goalie's sprite, his shirt and his hair are reversed. So if he had a red shirt, he'll have red hair, and whatever color his hair was is his shirt color.
So I know that that's, I mean, like, technical answer, that's a color limitation of the NES.
Well, sure,
like it needs,
but...
No, like, it needed to be that way for the amount of, like, different colors that you can fit in a section of sprites.
Mm-hmm.
But like, no, that's like a cool workaround. No, I think that's a cool workaround.
I mean, it's also appropriate for the game because when you're watching soccer, the goaltender or the goalkeeper will usually be wearing a different jersey just for everyone's just make sure everyone isn't confused as to who's who.
But could you not have just recolored the jersey and left the hair so people didn't have blue colored hair?
I don't know.
Well, that's what Mike's saying. I think that they didn't want to have the hair and the jersey be the same exact color.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So since we're on the topic of the goalies, though, I just wanted to talk about what I think is the best aspect of this game, and that's the shooting the goal. Like, it's very intuitive, as opposed to the passing, which I felt was kind of like, yes, you can control it a little bit, but I felt like 9 times out of 10, if I'm passing that ball, it's like, good luck.
It was a very rudimentary version of, like, in FIFA, you could just, like, press the analog stick in a direction, and it'll say, like, this is probably the player you're trying to pass to, and it'll go there. Whereas in this one, you kind of cycle through highlighted characters, or highlighted players, and... I mean, it was a good idea. It wasn't the best execution.
But it was an execution.
It was an execution. It was 9 times out of 10, like if you played enough of the game, you'll pass to the correct player. But yeah, the shooting is definitely more intuitive than the passing.
Just because I like that arrow, you know, like the ability to kind of say, like, this is where I'm going to shoot and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And having some control over that kind of brings me back to, like, with golf, where you had the power meter, and it's like you have control over your swing. It's not just like, all right, here I go. I'm about to take a big swing. You know, it's like I can control how much I want to take of this swing. Similar to how, like, what we wished in baseball or football, if you could say, like, I want to throw to this guy in football or in baseball, I want to swing this hard. Like,
the one part that it is counterintuitive is it really telegraphs, if you're playing two players, it really telegraphs where you're going to shoot the ball. But I think that a workaround is the fact that where you're shooting isn't really bounded. If you hit the top corner, or if you move towards the top corner, and you keep going, you will go back to the bottom corner and maybe throw your opponent off.
Speaking of multiplayer, I think personally that's where I find the most enjoyment out of this game. As someone, I'm not a big, you know, sports game fan anyways, so I would just rather be competing with someone. So I kind of just went to, I played one match against the computer on easy mode, and then I just went straight to playing against another real player, which I found more fun.
You have so many friends, Joe. me and Mike were playing against each other earlier too.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a good point about defense. So I felt like offense, okay, there's some, give me something. Defense, on the other hand, it's pretty hard. Like, I wish there was some kind of, like, slide animation to kind of kick the ball out, or even just some option to kind of, like, try to steal the ball, similar to like what there was in, I mean, like this game came much later, but like NBA Jam lets you like take, yeah, like take the ball from basketball from the other team. There's just something like that.
It's definitely a weird feeling playing a soccer game without a slide button.
Yeah. Yeah. I was missing that.
Yeah. But like these games can be pretty tense. And like, I think it really comes to a head if you end up tied at the end of the game. It doesn't go to extra time, and it doesn't just end like in a 10-yard fight.
Or baseball.
Or in baseball.
Where it just ends in a tie. Yeah. I'm so mad about that.
Luckily, we get a shootout where it kind of changes the mechanics of shooting, where you'll run up to the ball, and you don't get an arrow pointing to where you're going to shoot, because your opponent, if you're playing a real person, will be the goalie. You just point in a direction, and that's where you shoot the ball. I think like it's a, if you've been playing competitively against each other and you get to a shootout, it can be a really tense and either euphoric or very frustrating moment.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's a natural segue to another feature of the game, which is the penalty kick. I think that's really cool that they put that in there as like a tiebreaker. On baseball, Sam was kind of talking about how his game ended in a tie.
Yeah, I was off to a great comeback, and I just had to hold them for the last inning, and I did, and then...
And you were rewarded with a tie.
Yeah. I didn't get the chance to redeem myself.
So did anybody get to penalty kicks?
No.
I haven't either. No.
Me and Sean in our game got to it.
What were we saying, Joe?
No, I'm just saying, I didn't play as much as it seems like as you guys did. I played the one game against a computer and one or two games against a friend, and that was kind of it. So I think you guys maybe have a little more say about stuff I might have missed.
Right. Me and Sean actually got to it in our game. It was tense. I missed every single shot. Sean is an excellent goalkeeper, and he really can read where things are going to go. I continued to move to the right, and he would shoot to the left every single time. I got closer and closer to blocking it each time, but
yes, you did, Mike.
Sean walked away handedly with a 3-0 shootout after a 1-1 tie. So I think that's just like a really cool thing to program into the game, because it's an extra step.
Yeah. One other quick thing that I have is these other prior sports games, like, I don't think there was any way to play it wrong. Like, you couldn't get a penalty in 10-yard fight. You couldn't hit the batter in baseball. Golf, you could get out of bounds. That's kind of playing the game wrong. Mm-hmm. But this is the first sport game that I've seen, like, you can get offsides, or you can, it will punish you in the way that is, like, it would be in the game. Like, you get throw-ins if you could get out of bounds, whereas, like, I think in a less... technologically sound game, it would just have, you can't kick it out of bounds.
Right, yeah, it would almost be like a border wall.
Yeah.
Mm. And the offsides surprised me, actually, because I guess for some reason I just thought that, like, this game wouldn't be able to handle the idea of offsides. And then when it happened, I was like, oh, they programmed that in. Like,
Yeah.
It's the first we've seen of that level of...
And I didn't have, like, corner kicks or goal kicks or anything. But I know those are in it.
Yeah, they definitely exist in the game.
And it had like throw-ins and everything.
We're at an interesting point in the NES launch games, where we've seen Irem make 10-yard fight and Kung Fu. We've seen Nintendo make a bunch of games, but also a game like baseball. And now we're seeing a different, you know, kind of entry with Intelligent Systems making soccer. And while I agree that, like, you know, I love the extra options, and I definitely think it's a more, like, realistic take than, say, baseball, because you couldn't field, or 10-yard fight, because if you went, like, two steps back, you all of a sudden were kicking a punt, and it's like, well, I don't think that's what happens when I want to, like, get away from a, you know, a defender. But I think that's cool. But I will say that sometimes, you know, especially with these NES games, less is more, and I liked baseball, and you know, this might just come down to a sports preference, but I liked baseball more than this, even though it was lacking some features, just because I felt like, you know, to Sean's point, minimalist baseball, this was like, there's a lot going on here, and I don't know if I need all of it. I don't know if I need the offsides in an early soccer game. Like, and it didn't kill the game for me, first off, because that's a stupid complaint. Okay, like, like offsides is a rule in soccer and should be in the game. I'm just saying it's a noticeable design difference between the two.
Yeah.
Well, even I noticed that, like, the sprites, I didn't really notice the similarities in a lot of the sprites of the games we were playing before until I played soccer. And I was like, the sprites look different. They're bigger and a little more detailed, I guess. And they dance, but like, now that I'm looking back at it, I can kind of tell that, like, the sprites in 10 Yard Fight and the sprites in baseball were like, well, actually, they weren't made by the same person, were they?
No, they were not. But 10-Yard Fight, especially, 10-Yard Fight has, like, really small people, Joe. I don't know if you're remembering that correctly, but it was, yeah, like...
They're like dots. But yeah, baseball, like, did too, didn't it? Or baseball, like, is the one I don't remember as much, but...
No, baseball had, like, I mean, again, smaller than soccer, but they were okay. 10-Yard Fight was, like, football for ants.
Right.
All right, so with that, let's get into the essential games list. All right, it's the essential games list. You know what that is. We're going to vote on whether this game is essential today. So not like, was this a good NES game when it launched? We don't care about that. It's 2018. We're going to treat this game like 2018. That means that we think a game like Duck Hunt is still worth playing in 2018. But you're looking through your Steam catalog right now, and you're seeing a game like Football Manager, and you're like, oh, should I ruin my life with a 500-hour-long game like Football Manager that never ends, and I'm going to start missing breakfast over this? And you're like, huh. Or maybe I just go out and get a cheap copy of Soccer for the NES and see if that could fulfill my needs of not having to go outside and kick a ball for real.
Definitely, yeah.
Sean?
This game, I guess this can be seen as a flaw to some people at this podcast, but I think in terms of the level of simulation, this blows 10-Yard Fight out of the water on the American football version. I kind of see 10-Yard Fight as a lesser game after playing this one, just because I didn't think it was going to be this in-depth. But I really enjoyed playing it. I liked my time with it. That said, this is sort of like the most common reason for, like, these games. Like, this is a sports game. Go back and play this if you are a sports game fan or a soccer. If you're a FIFA fan, play this game. Everybody else, you don't need to play this game. This is not essential.
I would like to add, though, for a second, because we have been using this thing. And I'm just going to say, though, just because you like FIFA 18 doesn't mean that you should go back and play this game. It's more like just the idea that you're listening to this and you're interested in, like, what this old soccer game was like. We're kind of just throwing it out there like, hey, it's not going to hurt you to try it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that if you can't play the FIFA games, you're not going to like this game.
No,
I don't know. My take on this is that it's more like, yeah, they did try and do a bunch of different cool things, like throw-ins and goal kicks and corner kicks and penalty kicks and all this stuff. But so did Backyard Soccer for the computer. And I think that game is way better. You know, so if I had the choice between those two.
Was that gamer? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not essential just because.
Just because Backyard Soccer.
Yeah, because Backyard Soccer, if you want to play a game that's realistic to soccer, then you're going to play FIFA. And if you want to play a game that is more arcadey and kind of very basic, you're going to play Backyard Soccer because you got Pablo Sanchez in there and he's the best. but this game is, it's kind of both and neither of those things, in that it kind of feels very arcadey and just kind of, it's very basic just because it's NES and they can't do a lot. But they're trying to do a lot with it too, which is what Sean was saying earlier. I just think that you can find something that's more your speed, depending on which way you go. If you like the more kind of silly aspect of it, then you play Backyard Soccer, Pablo Sanchez and Ricky Johnson.
All right.
Dante Robinson is your goalie.
Okay, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of going back to what my initial impression was, like, this game, well, besides the music, but this game works, so I think it was moderately fun. If you like Sean and Sam both said, like, if you like soccer, you'll probably enjoy this game. Personally, it wasn't really for me. And even if you're a big soccer fan, I wouldn't say this is absolutely essential. I just think it's worth playing if you're a soccer fan. But that's really about it for me. Like I said, I didn't get as much out of it as you guys seem to have. So that's about all I got to say.
No, I definitely didn't get much out of it either, Joe. And for that reason, it's not in my essential games list. Just to get into it a little further, if I could add an additional thought here, is that when I say, do these games hold up today, I don't mean, like, can you still play it? Because, yeah, and I'm not saying you guys said that, but I mean, like, yeah, any of these games, you could still play. But, like, there's so many so many things to expand on here and so many ways to improve the controls, such as like an analog stick. Like, I just feel like the D-pad alone and like its limitations have kind of made this game a little less playable today. And so that's why it doesn't enter the essential games list. You know, we were talking about like Duck Hunt and the Zapper and the fluidity of that and how it still works in 2018. I think that's like something special, you know, and that's like kind of what the essential games list is reserved for. And so I don't think a game like soccer, you know, ever has a chance of getting a yay from me. But I'm very tough. You know, people have said I'm the toughest.
I think we're all pretty, people have said
I'm the toughest. Yeah. So, you know, yes, it's a no. And who knows if any other soccer game on the NES will be deemed part of my essential list or any sports game for that matter. So far, haven't been too jazzed on those sports games, but I haven't thrown any in my jank folder either. So there's that.
I just say one thing that I meant to say in my recap there was that I do appreciate that, even though I didn't really play it, I do appreciate that you guys are saying that there are different levels of difficulty, because I do feel like this is a game that you could, if you are a soccer fan, you could play over and over again and actually get better at and work your way up, which is something that 10 Yard Fight didn't really have and baseball didn't have. So that is something that I do think puts it a little above, at least in that aspect of things. It's something it's got that the others don't. Still not essential.
Right. I think they all fulfill a different kind of need, but 10 Yard Fight fulfills the least amount of needs.
Yes,
I agree.
All right. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Nestalgia. Join us next time for Stack Up. And be sure to play it yourself if you have Rob. For more nostalgia, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. And be sure to check out NostalgiaCast.com. That's NostalgiaCast.com. There you'll find links to the show notes as well as our Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, you name it, we got it on there. Thank you so much for your support of Nostalgia. We thank you for spending time with us. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.